This is a replay of the Tuesday night, April 29th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, as long as it has no significance whatsoever. Well, at least for us here in the States, we'll have a good time. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I did my homework. I got all of your bumpers ready. In fact, far too many that we'll even get the chance to play them all tonight. But there's always tomorrow night and Thursday night live shows on all of them. We'll also maybe talk about Johnny Mathis, since I promised we would at some point. And let's see. Oh, yes. And got to the bottom of what the argument is in asking the DA to recuse himself in the Menendez trial. All right. So I think that's all you asked of me. Now, I asked several things of you. We'll get an update from Sam, I hope, on Emery. There was a court hearing today on his granddaughter. Find out what's going on with that, because authorities allegedly know where she is, thank God, because the family didn't. And, of course, we're also going to hear about the big talent show over the weekend. So all that and more is, well, it probably wasn't a talent show, but we'll get details. But right now we got Eduardo. Eduardo is in Tampa. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, it's good to get you back, because last you went to me, and you cannot hear me, but I can hear you, but I'm glad we got the phones worked out.
Well, for the moment, anyway, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me give you a couple of requests before I talk about a couple of things.
All right. Let me write them down. Yes. What is it you want to hear?
Okay. Louis Armstrong, When You're Smiling.
Okay.
And Two Different Worlds from Lenny Welch. The CBS Sunday Morning brought him up. I guess he had passed away.
Oh, yeah. We talked at length about him the other day.
Did you? Okay. I missed that. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. A big loss musically. That's for sure.
Okay. Yeah. So Spain, Portugal, and some of France, I guess, went out. People stuck on the trains and had to walk and all that, and getting money out and all that. Pretty difficult to see that. Hopefully,
well,
nobody gets to experience that.
And of course, you know, the grids around the world are iffy. You know, for instance, when we talk about Puerto Rico, they go out all too often as far as that goes.
Right.
But power's back on in Spain and Portugal.
Right.
But the question is, why was it off? And they don't have an answer. And
yeah,
so
speculation with cyber, but that's not a for sure thing.
Well, right. Absolutely. Authorities are investigating the freak event, whether it's a cyber attack or something else. And of course, it's we're so dependent on our infrastructure, and our infrastructure in many ways is so fragile, and that's worldwide. I've talked about this at length without trying to be political here at all, is we need better backups, and that's true all over the world. Spain's grid was running fine until about noon 30, as far as that goes. Suddenly, that's it. Yeah, all of a sudden, no power. And of course, like you say, so many things, whether it's transportation or communication or banking or whatever, everything's dependent on it. So all of a sudden, no power, and then a cascading degradation of operating variables. All right, well, that doesn't sound good at all, does it? And so also disconnection of the lines with France. So that's, you mentioned some of France, and that's what it.
Yeah.
So in literally 2 seconds, 15 gigawatts of energy dropped from the supply, just vanished. And that's about 60% of the power that was being consumed at the time. And you could say, okay, well, there's 40% left. No, there's no percent left, because when that happens, the entire grid crashes. And that is exactly it. So even if you're losing this power for just a second and a half, well, it's going to take the grid a long time to get back in action. And that's why it was, more than a couple seconds and an outage. And so you've got a lot of people, tens of millions of people in Spain and in Portugal, who are saying, what happened? And the answer is they don't know.
Now, yeah, no internet, no banking. Yeah.
Well, of course, everything. But, they don't know is what's scary about this, because normally, obviously, there's blackouts everywhere at some time, at some point in time. And usually you can pinpoint it. It can be fire, extreme weather, or it may not even be that. It may just be a grid overload for reasons that can be intuited. But in this case, they have no idea. And I find that fascinating. They've created an investigation.
It wasn't like they needed an upgrade or anything like that.
Well, they don't know. They literally don't know. And okay. Of course, as I say, I started this by saying everybody's grid is too fragile. Everybody. It should be so redundant that this shouldn't even matter. But that, of course, requires a lot of money, and I understand that. But so you're talking about a second and a half of a power loss, but it took the grid several hours to return. So.
Okay.
Of course, all the obvious, the traffic lights and the street lamps and the people caught in elevators and things like that, you'd expect. But commerce, most people pay with credit card. Well, not for several hours yesterday. And so, of course, airports, forget about it, And so what you do there is a lot of time when you're talking about Madrid or Lisbon, these might be connecting flights. Well, these are no flights for a while. And Madrid and Barcelona are in the top five busiest airports in Europe. So, and that obviously is because of connecting travel. Obviously, they're not staying there. It was some people say, oh, it wasn't the worst case scenario. This could be a lot of lot worse. Well, it could, because Spain has nuclear. And the sites that are nuclear operational were declared safe and consistent. And the hospitals had both in both countries had backup generators, as well they should. But
yeah, that's good to hear.
But the real question is, what did it? And, there were a couple of deaths, and it's usually the kind of deaths you'd expect, unfortunately, individuals who were dying from carbon monoxide poisoning because they were using electric generators indoors and things like that, sadly, but not a great amount of that. But why? And so it was a total of 12 hours. So like from noon to midnight. So there.
Well, I got to tell you, I still carry a pocket radio just in case.
Ah, good for you. Yeah, yeah, right. Well, you'll always have radio, and if you also get one of the CC radios with a flashlight on it, you always got light at the same time. So,
right.
That's neat. But yeah, it's funny. Even people who don't think about radio on a regular basis, I tell you, suddenly the power's out and there's no electricity. What do you look for? You look for the flashlight and the radio.
Yeah, actually, I got a couple of these from one of these events I go to, where the flashlight, you just push the button, it doesn't require any batteries.
So there you are.
It was made in China. Yeah.
Probably. What wasn't, when you get right down to it. But yeah, so we have a second and a half of a grid interruption and 12 hours of no power because of it. So
yeah,
I'll be very curious. I have no idea. I can't even speculate what might have happened. But what's horrible to think is that a second and a half of interruption would cause this much of a blackout. That's the part I wish people were addressing.
Okay. Hey, let me get through safe management. So last week I had a job fair.
Yeah.
Safe management is going to be. And I already am in there because I'm going to be going to training. They'll be helping out at Raymond James Stadium.
Good.
In regards with concerts and games, sports games.
Uh-huh.
I wish it was also the baseball, but they're not included in that because they're playing baseball right now across the street at Steinbrenner Field. Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, it'll keep me busy on the side, even if I get something else.
Sure.
But, yeah.
No, that's they're pretty huge, and save, of course, security, athletic facilities, and events, SAFE, and they tailor those services to security and crowd management and even parking and stuff like that. And
if
they,
you got the license, I passed on the security, but I did the other one that's non-security, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, they're pretty huge. So good.
Okay. Yeah. Something good, yeah. Something good that could develop, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll keep you updated on anything else that comes up.
Absolutely. Good to hear it. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, Riley.
Right, touch
great
you
to
soon.
Hear from you.
Okay,
okay,
bye.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I have no idea, like I say, about what happened in Spain. But when you think about it, a little warble, and you're out power for what? You're out power for 12 hours. Yeah, that's a problem, to say the least. All right, 888-876-5593. I mentioned the Sea Crane Company, and they do offer exceptional solutions to just about everything. And the one thing behind every radio that Bob Crane has designed is simple. They have terrific reception, AM and FM, better than anything else you're going to get these days. But in addition to that, the Sea Crane radios all are unique from one to the other with the features. The commonality, great reception. So what's different? Well, the CC SkyWave Radio 2 is a good example. It offers an exceptional solution to ensure preparedness for unexpected extreme conditions. Yeah, weather conditions that may lead to power outages. There's a distinctive alarm that alerts you when NOAA issues or warnings. They provide advance notice of potential problems. With their superior reception and clear audio, you got AM, you got FM, and you got shortwave, which is neat. And thanks to enhanced capabilities amid high solar activity, you can experience the benefits of excellent reception on shortwave right now, enabling you to stay informed. Who knows? Maybe they're talking about Spain and Portugal. It's ideal for travel. The new CC SkyWave Radio 2 includes coverage of the aviation band. You gotta like that. What are the air traffic controllers saying? You'll find out. Listen to nearby pilots and air traffic controllers. Plus, it operates on a couple AA batteries for up to 70 hours, which makes it a great pocket-sized travel companion. You can go online anytime to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. Look at the CC SkyWave Radio 2. But if you can't go online for some reason, they've got terrific customer service. They'll answer all your questions. They'll mail you a copy of the catalog, and you can even order by phone. 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. Now, if you want really quick shipping, there's always Buy Mart and Amazon. However, I say first, go to ccradio.com because this catalog not only has great products, but great information about radio, too. You'll walk away knowing something you didn't before. So that's ccradio.com. Look at the CC SkyWave Radio 2. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Tell me why, though I try to forget, tell me why I think of you yet. I know I'll never be free. What has happened to me? Tell me why. When we danced until three, tell me why my heart couldn't see. I never dreamed of romance, never gave it a chance.
that day
in your gown of silk and lace. Should have known the day you came my way that this was the time and the place. Tell me why I keep fooling my heart.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the original. Well, sort of. All right, Al Alberts of the Four Aces wrote it, and they were the first to release it in December of 1951, but believe it or not, they were not the first to record it. The Swallows, yeah, you know, it ain't the meat, it's the motion, the Swallows, yeah. They recorded it in October, and I don't know the details of that, because, as I say, Alberts wrote it, and, of course, he was the Four Aces, but the Swallows were the first in the studio with it. All right, nice version there, too. But anyway, Gino is in Milwaukee. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Ral.
Hey, Gino. So I played your Four Aces.
Thank you.
Sure.
We talked about Johnny Mathis last night.
Yes.
Well, you probably know more about him than I do. Did you know that Mitch Miller was a big influence on his early career?
Not only a big influence. This is an interesting story, actually. Frank Sinatra hated Mitch Miller, hated him, and Johnny Mathis loved him, and both for the same reason. Mitch Miller, of course, who was the biggest foe of rock and roll ever, also loved pop standards, just loved them. And so when Frank Sinatra got there, he tried to convince him to do these upbeat, peppy, you know, Mama Don't Bark type pop standards. And Frank Sinatra was just not having it. And so that, you know, led to a rift and Frank walking away to Capitol and then ultimately starting Reprise. But Johnny Mathis, on the other hand, here comes Johnny Mathis. He's had no success. He's a jazz singer. And Mitch Miller says, no, you can't be a jazz singer. You want to make money, you need to do these pop standards. And of course, to this day, I'm sure in interviews, Johnny Mathis would tell you how much he revered Mitch Miller for that, because he listened and it paid off. It gave him the hits. And Johnny was with Columbia, except for a few years in the 60s. He went to Mercury, and then he came back to Columbia after Mitch Miller was gone. But when he went to Mercury, he really got a rude awakening, and to his credit, he talked about this, because at Mercury, he was able to do everything. He was able to produce it. He was able, you know, he picked the A&R, you know, the whole deal. And what he realized was that hits were a cooperative effort for him. He needed that support and that backbone. And so he went back to Columbia and, you know, never forgot the lesson. But sure, so that was the Mitch Miller story.
So Mitch Miller then was a big influence on all those big hits, those ballads that he started
That's right. He's the one. You see, as head of A&R for Columbia, Mitch Miller had 100% control of what was released. And again, this is why Frank Sinatra hated him. I mean, I swear to God, if he could have issued a hit, he might have. He was that mad. He did not. I mean, it was really, really bad. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. And we'll pick it up right there. Maybe I'll find Mama Don't Bark, and you'll see exactly what I mean coming up on WGN Radio.
My feet were killing me. My dogs were barking. I must have fallen asleep where I was parking. And then I dreamed two dogs were talking. Take my word, it was the doggonest thing you ever heard. She said,
Mama will bark.
You look so lovely in the moonlight.
Yes, but Papa will bark.
Your eyes are shining like the starlight.
Yes, but Mama will bark.
Your lips are so inviting, darling. Give me one more kiss.
Mama will spank.
The night is young and you are here so near.
But Papa will spank.
Please let me whisper in your ear, my dear.
But Mama will spank.
This is the moment I have dreamed of, darling. Oh, what a bliss.
I think 1951, same time that Al Albert and the Four Aces were singing Tell Me Why, Frank Sinatra is singing Mama Will Bark. Won't bark, yes, will bark. All right, so that was it for him, really. He went to Columbia in 43, and his relationship with Mitch Miller was always strained, but this was it, and he was out of there in 52. Now, the woman, of course, that's Dagmar. And you've got to be old like me. You've got to be a fossil to remember Dagmar. But long before there was a Tonight Show, there was Broadway Open House. And Jerry Lester, a comic, was the star of it. And he hired this woman from West Virginia, and he renamed her Dagmar. And he took the name, actually, from a TV series really early, like in the 40s, called Mama. Hence, Mama Will Bark, I guess. In any event, that's Dagmar and Frank Sinatra. And yes, we're talking to Gino in Milwaukee and wherever we are, WGN Radio, that's where we are, about it. So, yeah, that's what caused him to develop a full-time hatred for Mitch Miller. Do you blame him? Do you blame him?
He was pretty strong-willed.
Yeah, well, you know, Mitch Miller, like I say, for better or worse, he was great at those pop standards, but he had an absolute blind spot for top 40. He's the guy who, you know, called representatives saying that he had proof of payola because no disc jockey would ever play it without being paid to do so. And he believed it. And I remember in 1958 at the Muehlbach Hotel in Kansas City, he announced that rock and roll was dead. And Danny Kaye's little group, Smith Kaye Broadcasting, was so thrilled they went back to Seattle and changed the format of KJR. But obviously rock and roll was not dead. And that's what ultimately led to them firing Mitch Miller in 1965. Unceremoniously, I might add. And because Mitch Miller refused for Columbia. Now, Epic was a different story, which was owned by Columbia, but for Columbia to ever release a rock and roll album. There were some 45s he couldn't get away from, but albums, it was forbidden. So when they fired him in 65 at the sales convention in the summer of 65, they introduced rock and roll groups and their new albums. And it was like The Byrds and Paul Revere and the Raiders and Chad and Jeremy and Billy Joe Royal. You know, they were saying, hey, Columbia's with it. Now we're playing this stuff.
Okay.
So that's the deal. But yeah, so Johnny Mathis, at that time, by the way, during that whole thing, Johnny Mathis was gone. He was at Mercury during those years. So he was not involved in any of that start to finish. But yeah, he can absolutely thank Mitch Miller because Mitch steered him in that direction. And, it was obvious what was going on because, Capitol was the house that Nat built. And so everybody wanted their own Nat King Cole. And of course, Nat King Cole started out as, you know, playing jazz with the King Cole Trio and all that. But ultimately, it was all those wonderful pop standards that put him on the map. So that's what Mitch Miller was hoping he'd do with Johnny Mathis. And he did. Now, ABC Paramount, they had Johnny Nash, the guy who later did all that Caribbean stuff. But early on, he was one of their crooners. So they all tried, but Johnny Mathis is probably the only one to succeed.
You know, I just think Johnny Mathis is in a class by himself. There's nobody quite like him. And as I mentioned yesterday, I think he did his best stuff long after he dropped off the charts.
Well, it's interesting. I know the one you mentioned, Begin the Begin, I kind of chuckled at that because, you know, that was a big beach music record in the 80s because you can shag to it. So
by him?
Yes. Yes. Begin the Begin by him was absolutely huge in the Carolinas on the beach music circuit. In fact, I'll play it next for you. But my old time. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it's that song. Here's a recording of it. It has the punch of a rock song. It really has a driving beat.
Well, it's got a shag beat, so you can shag to it, and that's why it was so big in the Carolinas. And
and it's four and a half minutes.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. So, yeah, and he had some, you know, duets with Denise Williams that were really nice in the 80s as well.
Yes. And
some of that Mercury stuff, like I'm Coming Home was a Mercury release. I thought that was a great little record, and it did nothing. But my all-time favorite was Gina from 1962, and that was absolutely Columbia. So, and he was... He was always a class act. You know, it never went to his head. He always realized how lucky he was. And, he always conducted his life with dignity. You never heard about scandals. And, of course, that was very hard early on because, you know, when you're talking about the mid-50s, here you are, you're an African-American crooner. You can't exactly come out and say, oh, by the way, I'm gay. You know, so that was closeted for decades. decades. And, you know, while privately there was talk, obviously, you know, I was aware a lot of people were, but you never heard about scandals. You didn't hear about him in the tabloids. You just, he was a class act.
Yeah. And, you know, you just watch him in concert. He just takes such joy in
yeah.
what he's doing.
Yeah. No, he absolutely was grateful for every bit of it. And it came out. You betcha. And so, I mean, announcing you're retiring at 90, that's a life well lived.
7 decades.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Some people don't even live that long.
Yeah, well, absolutely. In the record business, most, unfortunately. So, so yeah.
Getting back to Begin the Begin, if you can see... I mean, it has even kind of a disco beat.
Well, like I say, you can shag to it. Shag is the official dance of South Carolina, and it's a beach music thing. And it started in the late 40s, and it's kind of a slowed-down version of a jitterbug. But actually, in South Carolina, it's a sport in high school. So shagging is a very big thing. But, of course, Cole Porter didn't have that in mind when he wrote it, clearly. But, yeah, he wrote that while he was on a cruise in 1935. He was a
it's a classic. It's a classic song.
Well, yeah, it was in a Broadway musical and all that. And so, of course, when Artie Shaw released it in 1938, that was just huge. So, so sure. Originally, it was a rumba. And so that made its way to becoming a shag on the updated version. So, sure.
I think when he recorded it, it was right at the height of the disco phase, and so there was a touch of that there.
Well, yeah, to an extent, that's absolutely true. But like I say, I think it was a surprise to him and everybody else that it would become a big beach music record.
Yeah, I think that's his signature song.
Well, if you want to say so, okay, I wouldn't go there, but you're more than welcome to think it.
Okay.
All right, well, good deal.
Thank you for taking my call and for playing my request.
Absolutely, and I will play a Begin the Begin for you, and I'll manage to stick my Gina in there, and maybe I'll even get the Mercury, because I don't know if you ever even heard I'm Coming Home that he released.
You know, Linda from Richland Park mentioned another one of his songs.
Brazil. Yeah, and I'll play that. His version of Brazil, that's right. Brazil actually goes back to 1938. It was a samba. There's a real story about that. But believe it or not, my favorite Brazil, and these are fighting words to anyone in Rio, is the Coasters. But anyhow, I'll play them both.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Hey, nice talking with you.
All right, you too. Yeah, Ari, I'm trying to think of what his last name was. Barrasso, that was it. He wrote Brazil and wrote it, I think, in 1938. And he didn't write the English lyrics, obviously. He did it in Portuguese, and he did it because originally I think it was like watercolors of Brazil, and that would have been in Spanish, Portuguese, obviously. But he wrote it in a rainstorm in Rio in 38. And then, oh, man, did he ever have a fight at Carnival in 1940, Villa-Lobos was one of the judges, and they didn't pick Brazil. And he and Villa-Lobos didn't talk for, you know, decades, absolutely, not till they both got an award at the same time or whatever. But, man, that was the thing. So, yeah, that's going back to the 30s and the 40s when, they were casting aspersions at Ari's family, claiming they were fascists because they liked the guy who was president of Brazil. It's a long story. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
And even the
1982 on Columbia. There it is. Gino thinks it's the ultimate, and all right, Johnny Mathis did well with that too. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio takes us to James on the South Side. How's it going, James?
Fine. How are you? Thank you for taking my call. I did have a couple requests, Buzz.
Okay.
Okay. Johnny Mathis, the 12th of Napa.
Okay.
Okay. And Johnny Mathis and Denise Nicholas, It's Over. My parents love Johnny Mathis.
Okay. You mean Denise Williams?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay, I was going to say, wait a minute.
I always do.
Wait a minute. Yeah, right. All right. So, good deal. All right. So, yes, and we'll go over your stories, but I have to tell you, you know I'm not a fan of Newsbreaks, but I think that Newsbreak and I are about to break the ways. Now, when you go to their stories, they have a warning. They want you to open their app or whatever. I don't want their app. I don't want any crap. And so,
I tried to avoid it.
No more Newsbreak. I'm not going to open any more Newsbreak stories.
Okay.
So there's lots of other places you can go, but not that one. Yeah, I hate it when they do that, when they become so, insistent that you use their stuff that it's hard to read the articles.
Yeah, I know. It's like, for instance, they'll say, do you want to go through the browser?
Yeah.
And then my phone will just simply slowly sludge its way.
Yeah, that's it. So no. There's a bunch of other sites. I was trying to think of one because I know you like those aggregators. This one's a little dangerous because some of the stories are nuts, but it's called the Daily Horn. I've seen some weird things out of that one, and
I think one time I was trying to, and then it went away for some reason off my phone. I said, "Now that's strange."
Yeah, the whole thing's strange. I subscribe to Epic Times. I rarely read them, but if you read their headlines and come across it, I'd certainly look at them because I am a subscriber. So. Let's see what else.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are some. But yeah, unfortunately, Newsbreak has just trounced right out of my life, I'm sorry to say. So
And the bad part about it, this group from them actually was one of their better selections. Nothing too bad or too bloody.
Yeah, isn't that nice? Yes, it does. Does make
you wonder. And there was a few really winners, real winners. Like there was like the mailman who actually put
the $10 bill, yeah, that he found the $10 bill in somebody's driveway and put it in the mail, put it in the mailbox for him. Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah. And of course, talk about the only real hundreds of koalas, somebody that's sad. Because when I think of koalas, I always think about that Qantas airline. I hate Qantas.
Well, yeah, and koalas, who knows what they are as an animal. I'm no, I'm no veterinarian, but I will say that they seem so cuddly. But then again, when we're talking about down under and stuff like that, the kangaroos look nice, too, until you have to deal with them.
Yeah, and then you don't want to get into a boxing or kickboxing with them.
That's right.
That'll be the end of you.
But now, of course, you also gave me the warning that once again, we talked about this last year. I thought it was like a once in 30-year thing. But here we are once again, a very bad year for very aggressive species in Illinois. That's right, Illinois and the greater Midwest will see a variety of bugs and insects this season. Now, maybe not the cicadas that we got last year, but mosquitoes are absolutely the worst. And so
so you end up, that long-sleeve sweater that you were going to put away for winter, you might as well use it for summer.
Absolutely. Wear it all summer and make it be a turtleneck and put on a face mask. Yeah, exactly. And what's amazing is only the females bite. Well, they certainly bite enough.
Then you start running that weird line like, that was unfortunately made into a movie title, too.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we won't go there.
Now, we also have ticks up in terms of experience this year, a very big public concern health-wise. So that's the deer tick or the black-legged tick, both of which, they're certainly around Greater St. Louis. I don't know if they make it all the way to Chicago, but they love humans. So
And so, hey, they might just say, let me hop for the ride.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. Like that old Dr. Demento song of the Ticks, Shelby Walker, take a dog. Shelby Walker, take a dog. Anyway, so let's see.
Yeah.
All right. So, I digress. It's gotten to that that deal. So, apparently spring and summer not only bring seasonal allergies, but species this year more than usual.
Yeah. Then, unfortunately, there's the woman who decided to hire a hitman. She was mad at her ex, who was a Philadelphia policeman, and for some reason at his daughter, who was 19, younger than she was. If you read some of the comments below, it's like, they start going towards that line, which we won't say.
I didn't even see the story, so I missed this entirely. But here we are. This is from earlier in the month, I guess. Jacqueline DiOrio accused of trying to hire a hitman on Tinder. Okay, now, if you're going to hire a hitman, do you usually want to use social media? All right.
Right there.
This woman has failed the intelligence test. There's a picture of her dumb self right there. She wanted to pay the informant $12,000 to kill her ex-boyfriend and his daughter. All right. So, you want to kill the ex and his child. So, sure, go to social media. That's the place. Oh, man. So she gets on this, and I don't know much about Tinder. I'm proud to say I don't know much about any of them. I don't like social media.
Unfortunately, the only thing I've heard about Tinder, that's supposed to be, I thought that was a dating app.
It is. It is. And that's exactly what it is. So I guess while she was, other people are looking for long walks on the beach, she was looking for hitman. But anyway, she runs into confidential informant who apparently meets with her. And this, by the way, is not actually Philadelphia. It's across the river in Camden County. It's so typical for Camden, New Jersey, I can't tell you. But anyway, they exchange phone calls, text messages, and so she meets up with him, and so she shares that she wants to kill her boyfriend. She's 26. The boyfriend was 57, and she's willing to pay $12,000. Again, you... I think
the Turing test should have been done on her and said, well, okay, are you certain this is human?
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, this is the kind of thing. Does she have a driver's license? They let her out? Does she vote? Please, dear Lord, tell me no. But anyway, and so apparently at the hearing, they discovered that she had tried to arrange for the father-daughter combo to be killed on another occasion. So this is not the first time she's been trolling the streets for people to kill them.
Oh, boy. I'm thinking, well, I'm glad I'm not in that game anymore.
All I can think about is poor public defender's office. Can you imagine being assigned to this case? I mean... I mean, now it's your license. You've got a defender. What on earth are you going to say?
Maybe claim insanity?
Well,
I think that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, she did.
I looked at it.
She was carrying a pill bottle with the label torn off, and it was believed to be a controlled substance used to treat anxiety and panic disorders. I think that's the beginning of this woman's trouble. And so she's charged with two counts of first-degree attempted murder, one count of first-degree conspiracy to commit murder, one count of third-degree possession of a controlled dangerous substance, and, of course, as I'm concerned, a major count of absolute utter stupidity.
Yeah, it was a good thing you got rid of her, but next time you should go for just some quiet 50-year-old.
I love the judge. That's Judge Rodriguez, who, when her attorney is asking for bail, and she simply says, no. That's right. Next court date, June 11th. All right. Time for the news. Thank you for calling. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. Good deal. All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh on WGN Radio.
about a change in June. We stood beneath an amber moon and softly murmured someday soon we kissed and clung together then. Tomorrow was another day. The morning found me miles away with still a million things to say. Twilight dims the sky above, recalling thrills of our love. There's one thing I'm certain of, return I will to old.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Johnny Mathis in Brazil. And yeah, actually, that was not on ATCO, like all of the, well, actually, I shouldn't even say that. That'll come later. So that was on Columbia, but it wasn't released. There you go. 1986, they recorded it, and they recorded it with Henry Mancini, and it was going to be part of that album with Mathis and Mancini, and it got dropped. And never saw the light of day until, like we've talked often, CDs come out, and then, of course, you kind of mine the vaults, what else is there. And so in 1998, when they were putting out on Columbia the ultimate Johnny Mathis collection, they included Brazil. So it got released in 98, but recorded in 86. So that was Linda in Richardson Park wanted to hear that that version. But yeah, for me, I hesitate to admit it. Yeah, rest in peace, Ari Barroso, who wrote that. But I liked the Coasters version, and it was interesting that came out on Atlantic, and all the other Coaster stuff, of course, came out on ATCO, but in 1959, they came out with Brazil, another big beach hit.
Do-be-do-what, do-be-do-what, you what, do-be-do-what, do-be-do-what, you was here.
Do-be-do-what, you what, do-be-do-what, do-be-do-what,
you what, do-be-do-what, you what, do-be-do-what. Softly murmured someday soon. We kissed and clung together.
Then tomorrow was another day. The morning found 3 miles away.
WGN Radio, there it is. That's the Coasters version. And yeah, it was on ATCO on one of their albums earlier on, so I don't know if the Atlantic version I have was just foreign release or what, but 1959 I got it on Atlantic, but it came out on one of their albums in the 50s. So yeah, there's the Coasters version, and literally dozens and dozens of versions of that, to say the least. All right, so like I said, I did my homework, and we were talking last night about the Menendi, as I like to call the Menendez brothers, and it was, I think, Laura who said, here's the deal. Their attorney is filing to get the DA off the case, to have him excused. And so I said, on what grounds? And then I said, well, I'm going to find out, because we didn't know. And of course, it comes out on bias and fair trial concerns and all that. But okay, so what example are you going to use for this? Because if you're going to file something with the court, you got to convince the judge that that your arguments have legs, so to speak. And the interesting part about that is that their attorney did come up with a lot of things that was interesting. And what this goes back to, apparently the last DA was ready to have a resentencing hearing. Now, the significance of this is if the Menendez brothers could be resentenced, then at, say, 50 years rather than life, what would happen, because they committed the crimes before the age of 26, they would be eligible for parole right now. And, of course, there's a parole hearing, and that was part of this as well. But the new DA, when he got in there, he doesn't want any part of that. He said, no, there's not going to be any resentencing. And so, hence, the court motions have just been cascading. And so now the next trial date, from what I know, is May 9th. And the judge, who is Michael Jessic, will entertain the discussions about that. But also, the other holdup for this was that apparently the parole board did have a lot of evidence that the DA says they were not privy to, and the course defense said, we want this brought up. So that's where it is. And so, yeah, one of the things that their lawyer brought up, Mark Garris, was that not only was the DA biased in his words against the Menendez brothers, claiming that they were liars and all of this, but he's doing it on television, on morning shows and stuff like that. So apparently there's quite a lot in terms of a lot of meat for this to be heard. So we'll see. Obviously, it's a case that's captured the public attention for decades. One of the things in terms of the original trial, and that was Abramson, I think her first name was Leslie. She's retired long since then, but she had brought up that at the time, she wasn't allowed to present a lot of defense that would have shown the abuse that was involved. And then, of course, you have the current DA saying, oh, there wasn't any abuse. And yeah, all right. So that, of course, stupid things to say. To say the least, is that there might be, might be reasons to recuse him. So we'll see. That's obviously what Mark Gagaris wants to do. And the current DA is Nathan Hawkman. But again, the deal is that the last DA was all for, let's get a resentencing and let's put this to rest. And then, of course, elections happen, the new DA's in there, and he's like, nothing to do it. So everybody's working overtime. Sorry, so that's what I found out about that. All right, UPS cutting 20,000 jobs this year. Why? Has nothing to do with tariffs whatsoever, and a little to do with Amazon from that standpoint. But apparently, UPS has been trying to decrease their reliance on Amazon, kind of glide down the arrangement, as they say. That's their words. Why? Because it's not profitable in the long run. It's ultimately not a healthy fit for their network. So package volume from Amazon was already down 16%, and it's going to go down further. But why? So if it's not tariffs and it's not Amazon, what is it? Automation. It's exactly what it is. And so more automation and more of its facilities, from sorting packages, from label application to loading to unloading. And so 400 facilities will be partly, if not fully, automated. And, of course, I laugh when I hear this only because the USPS, the Postal Service, has a certain amount of automation as well, as you probably know. And we get a lot of packages, and it's hilarious to see sometimes the trips they'll make. And you know that's some type of an automation glitch. Let's say it's being sent from Baltimore, and it's coming to Phoenix. Now, that you can think of a lot of stops along the way. But you'll see packages that go from Baltimore, they make it all the way to Oakland, California, then they're back in Chicago. Then, you know, I mean, it's like traversing the globe. The only thing I haven't seen is these packages leaving the country. But other than that, I've seen a lot of things that are more well-traveled than most Americans. So we'll see how this works out for UPS. Closing 73 buildings by the end of June. All right. Might want to look up where they are in case you use one of those. So 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine right here on WGN Radio.
so time-seeking fortune and some fame. Never got the chance to prove myself, though I tried to play their game.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Johnny Mathis, and that's his Mercury years. Yeah, 1967, I'm coming home. All right, so yeah, in the other studio from last week, and if you remember last week, I had just a really dirty pot, and I spent the weekend cleaning it. You're probably thinking, gee, doesn't sound too good. Well, it's not the same board, but man, it's the same pot. I don't know. All right, I'll worry about that later. At least I'm not in the same embarrassing situation as a police officer in Great Britain. Oh, this is just classic. Yeah, he says, I'm a cop. All right, so yeah. He's a 36-year-old cop, has his car stolen. And so he decides he liked his car, a 2016 Honda Civic Type R. And this is February. And he decides, I want the same model. I want to get it as close to what I had. You probably already know what's coming. So he's looking around, and he sees this ad. And it was the identical model. He checked the VIN number. The VIN number was different than the one he had on his stolen car, so he wasn't suspicious. He buys it, $26,000 or pounds. It doesn't say which. And as he's driving home, he's starting to notice some odd things. There's a tent peg and some Christmas tree pines that, you know, it looked very familiar to him. And then he noticed that the locking wheel nut was in a Tesco sandwich bag that he had put in his old car. And he noticed other wrappers in the central storage section that looked eerily familiar. And it all looked oddly similar to a stolen car. But, you know, he thought, well, this can't be. It's a different VIN number. So he checks the satellite navigation system on his new car and realizes that it's his address and his parents' address that were listed. Now it's just not possible. He also sees that his phone immediately connected to the Bluetooth device. Yep, it's his car. So he takes the car back to the local Honda dealer, where he tried the key from his old car. It worked on his new purchase. The dealership plugged in, found out the original car's VIN, which was Valentine's, and it was a surreal moment, to say the least. And they said, it's your car. You bought your old car back. Never heard of it happening before. But the police and the Honda dealer all agreed that it was about the best clone job they'd ever seen. So if it wasn't for little artifacts, no one would have ever known. And so local cops towed the car. They're on the case, working with the insurance company. I don't know how that comes into play here. Meanwhile, he's feeling pretty embarrassed. It's only me. Yeah, well, that probably is not something you want to want out there. But too late, out there now. So let's see what else we have in news of the word. And your thoughts, of course, and interest in all that Trump everything that I'm doing. So 888-876-5593. Now, speaking of Trump, want to mention tomorrow night. This is earlier 7 to 9 p.m. And that's the deal there, where there will be a two-hour Cuomo town hall. And it's on News Nation. But it's not only on News Nation. It is also on WGN Radio. So John Landecker gets to have a couple hours off tomorrow night. So if you're not near your television, you can hear it. And it'll be Bill O'Reilly and Stephen Smith and a call-in appearance from the president. That's right. Trump will be answering questions about his first 100 days in the administration, which he was talking about in a live speech tonight in Michigan. So, as I say, live on News Nation. If you're in a market where you've got a CW network station, it'll be on that as well. WGN-TV, if you're in Chicago. Also going to be on plenty of radio stations, including WGN Radio. So if you're mobile, don't have the TV handy, we've got it right here. Now, the broadcast is 100% live from the New York studios of News Nation, and there's an in-studio audience, and that could be the most fun part because it will include RFK Jr. and James Carville, both in attendance in addition to many others. So this is tomorrow night, 7 to 9. Even though we don't discuss politics on this show, I know that, you know, you think about it, and you've got opinions, no doubt, and I think you'll want to hear it. So 7 to 9 tomorrow night right here on 720 WGN. All right, Bruce in Elwood, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you doing tonight?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. It's funny you were talking about that car. I had not the same thing, but close. I had a Corvette.
Yeah.
78 Vette.
Okay.
My wife drove it to the high school where she worked, and it got stolen.
Okay.
So we got paid and bought a new car. Actually bought a nice 87 Thunderbird.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Her father was sick and she was out of town. So I got a call one day and it's from a Country Club Hills, which is about 30 miles from me, 40 miles from me.
Right.
And they said, we've got your doors.
Oh, no. From
and
the
I'm
vet.
Like, what do you mean you got my doors?
From the vet.
Yeah, from the vet. They had the doors. So I went over and looked and mine was a white 78.
Yeah.
And the car they had at the police station was a blue 79.
Uh-oh.
But it had a set of white doors there and a doeskin steering column and uh-huh. stuff. And the motor was gone out of it. My motor was gone.
Right.
My Alpine was gone and had a Spark-O-Matic steering.
Oh, that's funny.
I had an Alpine in it with pile drivers and everything. That was all gone. But it was funny, and I told him, I said, you know, vets have a serial number on the frame.
Right.
And I said, look at the frame, and you'll find out this is my car. I don't want it back because I already been paid for it.
Right.
And they said, no, this is when we confiscated. They confiscated in the drug raid.
Okay.
And I reached in the front fender, and it had a crack in there that I had repaired when I first bought it. I bought it used, and I said, no, this is my 78. And they're like, no, this is a 79. It's only your doors.
Yeah.
See, they wanted to keep it because they could sell it. They took it in a drug raid. But if it came back to mine, it had to go. The insurance company paid for it, so they would get it.
Right, exactly. Oh, man, so you had a 78, you had a pace car. That was the Indy 500 pace car year.
It was the pace car year. I didn't have the pace car,
okay.
The white one. But
all right.
Yeah, but it was so weird because when I saw that fender, I repaired it the weekend I got it, you know.
Yeah, like, right.
You know your car.
Of course you do.
You know your car.
So what happened? Did the insurance company get it?
I don't think so. I called my insurance agent. I said, hey, that car's over where it is at the police station.
Right.
They confiscated it.
Right. Oh, man.
I had already been paid, so I really didn't worry about it.
Do you still have the Thunderbird?
No, I wish I did.
Oh, yeah, I do, too. That was a short-lived thing, but they were really nice. All right, good deal. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, all right, so we'll find out what's going on in the world at large and be back to it, hopefully with you on WGN Radio.
Watching girls go by. My, my, my. I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher. Here comes one now. I was just a boy when I threw away my toys. I found a new pastime. Well, on whenever I detect members of the other sex, I play the game, I do so well. Oh, I'm a girl watcher, I'm a girl watcher, watching girls go by. My, my, my. I'm a girl watcher, I'm a girl watcher, here comes one now.
I'm Raleigh James, Johnny Weaver in The Occasions, 1968 on ABC, Girl Watcher, and I think that was Donna in Schaumburg. I found four requests from last week yesterday, and I think it was Donna, but we had The Occasions and Johnny Taylor and The Intruders and The Marvelettes, and five actually, she wanted to do up for Scotty. So I hope that was Donna's, but anyway, yeah, eventually I get to it, but yeah, I tell you what, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. All trials, all the time, we go to Carl in Riverside. How's it going, Carl?
Hey, Raleigh, I thought I'd call a little bit earlier because last two times didn't work out too good.
Good, I'm glad you did.
Me too. Me too. Hey, I'm sure you've touched upon this before, but any opinion, your opinion, of the Karen Reed trial that is going on
now? It's very interesting. Of course, there was a previous trial, and it was a hung jury, and the jury was going to acquit her on two of the cases, and they were hung on two of the charges, and they were hung on the third. Now, her lawyers glommed onto that and appealed it, lost the appeal. The Supreme Court last month wouldn't hear it, so that means the appeal is final. So in this trial, all three charges are being tried again, even though her lawyers say it's double jeopardy, she was acquitted. Well, you know, the other side is saying, no, it wasn't finalized yet because they were hung on the third. So here we are. We're going all over it again. At this point, the judge is allowing evidence that I think she wouldn't in normal circumstances have allowed, because I think the last thing this poor judge wants is to be overruled and, you know, overturned, as it were. But from what I understand, she was issuing some stern rulings to the defense in terms of watch your step there, but she's still allowing the forensics and the engineering to go in there. So, but she's also, she's made it clear, she's allowing the prosecution leeway in their cross. So that's where we are. Now, in terms of what do I think about this, of course, you know, being an armchair quarterback is always hard. I've only read the press accounts of it. And, you know, it seemed to me that that she certainly has a case to make. Whether she'll be able to make it or not, I don't know. What do you think?
I get the impression that I think you said before in the past you don't watch too much television.
I watch virtually none.
A lot of the riffraff I skip, but you know, when it comes to something like court TV, you know, it's a lot of details you never see otherwise, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, years ago when they first started, I would watch that. At the time, I was working somewhere that was like a radio TV combo. And I love Sundays because Court TV would sell out their Sundays to a third party, which turned out to be Physicians Journal Television. And I used to laugh. I said, oh, I'm learning brain surgery this week. You know, it's so much easier when you're never going to do it. And but I'd sit there with rapt attention at Physicians Journal Television. So what could I tell you?
So, you know, that's on every night. And I find it interesting because what do they talk about? The Karen Reed trial.
Well, sure. It's a big trial. And, of course, in Massachusetts, and Reed is a former adjunct professor, so she was no slouch. And, of course, the victim, whether it's a victim of her or not, the victim is a cop. And so there's a lot of people on both sides of this who have a certain amount of clout. And so, sure, and I'm sure a lot of the armchair viewers who spend a lot more time with this than me have already made up their mind either way. And I bet you that it's probably split down the middle. What do you think?
I have a tendency to agree with you. All these details, unbelievable that you don't hear about on regular news, you know. And, you know, it's kind of fascinating to me. It's kind of giving me a headache, though, too.
You don't hear about much on regular news, which is another reason that, you know, I don't watch that stuff, is because it's their version of the news. But for court cases, there are court cases going on all over the country all the time. They're not always as enticing as this one, but it's interesting. Now, are they covering the actual trial? Can you watch the whole trial?
I don't get a chance to watch during the day, but I think they have a little live action in the courtroom during the day. I believe they have that. And then, of course, in the evening here in Chi-Town, like 7 to 8 o'clock, and they go over everything.
Right, okay, and it is. I just looked it up. So, it is being televised. So people who, you know, who are otherwise shut-ins and want to see it start to finish, Court TV, NBC Boston, and CBS Boston are covering it gavel to gavel.
There you go.
So you can watch this streaming, you know, like CBS TV Boston. Obviously, I don't think they're showing it over the air, but it's streaming, and you can watch the whole thing. So there it is in Dedham, Massachusetts, and it's interesting all the way around.
The Commonwealth versus Karen Reed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and you know, when I read the synopsis again, I hesitate to say I've made a definitive decision because I don't have enough information for that. But when I looked at it, I thought, well, this lady has some interesting things to bring up. There's a case to be made. I wonder if she can make it.
Yeah. There's all in these forensics, uh-huh, with the cell phone and everything.
Well, yeah, that was the big fight. That was the big fight today, I guess, because you know, the prosecution is saying this shouldn't be allowed in. This is not, you know, they're being paid by the defense and all that. And that's when the judge said, "I'm allowing wide latitude, but you'll have the same wide latitude on your cross." So I would think if the cross is coming tomorrow, that would be a very interesting thing to watch.
It's interesting. You know,
sure.
We'll see how it all shakes out. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, Riley, before I let you go, and I actually called last week, but something happened. Pew! But do you know who Harve Presnell is?
I know the name, but I don't know him personally or anything, but yeah.
Okay. Maybe at some point.
And so he's not alive. You know, he sang.
No, he's gone.
Yeah, he sang and did some actings, and but he was more like musicals or big bands, not my kind of stuff necessarily. But yeah, I know who he was. Yeah,
I wasn't really into the guy or anything, but the one song that stood out that I really liked is, and this song, it's from the movie Paint Your Wagon.
Okay, well, that was huge. A huge musical.
And that's before Clint Eastwood became famous.
Well,
right.
Oh, and, absolutely was in it.
However, Harve Presnell sings They Call the Wind Mariah.
Oh, God.
And there's something about that song that's it's really good.
Yeah, well, a lot of people sung that. It's kind of a standard. But you like his version, huh?
I do like his rendition, and a lot of people don't know. I didn't know this at the time. Okay, the movie Fargo?
Yeah.
He was in the movie Fargo.
Yeah, he absolutely was. Fargo, wasn't that the Coen brothers from Minneapolis? I think
whoever.
No, they did some very interesting things. You know, John not only watches TV, but he knows all these movies. And there was one, I think, was also the Coen brothers, The Big Lebowski. And the only reason I know about this is John signed up to be a Dudist priest. And so he got his ordination and
okay,
all that stuff. Yeah, so, but I'm pretty sure it's the same brothers who did Fargo. That was the money that was missing or something. Yeah, pretty sure it's the brothers. But anyway.
Yeah, kind of the main character. I forgot the actor's name. He plays kind of a doofus in the movie, but Harve Presnell was his father-in-law.
Okay.
In the movie.
Okay.
So,
in Fargo?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm aware of that, but of course, you know, I wouldn't know who starred in it to save my soul, but it was a very well-received movie, to say the least. But yeah, that was the Coen brothers. But yeah, so as far as Paint Your Wagon, Harve Presnell, he did a lot of Broadway stuff, you know, things like The Unsinkable Molly Brown and all that kind of stuff, but he also played character roles. You mentioned Fargo, but I think he was in Saving Private Ryan, which was another big movie of some sort. He was on stage doing a lot of stuff. He was a soloist, classical music, for a while. He played with the Los Angeles Philharmonic and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Sounds
all right.
Good. Riley, that's all I got for you tonight. I'll come up with something more interesting next time.
Well, that is interesting. And, of course, we'll certainly watch the trial. And the only sad part is, you know, I say, oh, let's watch and pass the popcorn. But real lives are involved in this. And I wish everybody the best for the outcome that should be had.
Well, right. It seems to be the biggie trial these days.
Well, that and the Menendez, you know, the Menendez brothers and their motion. So, yeah, well, we'll see. I'll keep a watch on it, and you do too. Let me know if you hear anything interesting.
I'll keep you posted.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, young lady.
All right. Good deal. Yeah. So, all right. No one ever asked for paint your wagon. They call the wind Mariah. All right. Well, I'm going to look to see if I actually have this on the. I know I've got it by somebody because, like I say, it's ubiquitous. Everybody's done it. But as far as Harv, we'll find out. And there's absolute room for you too. Yes, a whole void of it. And if you're one of the people who's usually hanging when the show is off the air, this is the time to call. We've got more than an hour to get together right here on WGN Radio.
No one to love me. I'm all alone. If you don't believe me, find out on your own. My heart is bleeding for you.
But that was a request. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and it was Cleveland Dennis who recorded this. The soliloquy is James Crawford, but the vocalist is Edgar Big Boy Miles. And what it was that Cleveland Dennis heard was the crying. Now, actually, James Crawford was supposed to do the whole thing, but he was, I don't know, out partying or something and wasn't available to do it. So, consequently, he wound up just doing the soliloquy and the end. And what I think captured the imagination of Cleveland Dennis was the crying. So let's cut to the chase and get to the crying, don't you think? Yeah, I think it's time we just started there, and then we'll go from there, because believe me, James Crawford was far from the only crier.
All I can do is sit and cry my heart out and beg you, yes, beg you, please, please come back to me, darling. Please come back. Come back to me, darling. Please. Please come back. Please come back.
All right. Well, she didn't come back, but he was, as I say, not the first or the last of the big criers. And but like I say, Cleveland Dennis liked that. But that only tells me that he probably had not heard, oh, good old Jackie LaRue. Jackie was in the Starlights. All right. This guy would not only cry, he'd collapse on stage while he was crying. I mean, this was the real deal. You wanted to go to a Starlights concert as far as that goes. And want to cut to the chase on this somewhat so we can just get into some of his more tender crying moments. But yes, Jackie LaRue and the Starlights lamenting Valerie. To moan for at least another good minute on Valerie, and by the end of it, he's on the floor pounding it. You know, it's just all Jackie LaRue all the time. Now, of course, the Starlights, or Jackie and the Starlights, when you really get down to their tender moments, not only is Valerie quite the classic, but the follow-up Yeah, that's right. He was on to a good thing with this crying, so he continued with I Found Out Too Late. So indeed, there are three fine crying records. I know, not fun, not good to make fun of somebody's misfortune, but yeah, Jackie LaRue took it to another level. So now Cleveland Dennis just knew about the Shawwees, which I've played before, like I said, 1953 on Aladdin. That was at J&M in New Orleans. The Starlights, that was on Fury for both of those. That was Bobby Robinson producing. And yeah, he would appear, Jackie LaRue and the Starlights, you know, places like the Apollo, and he'd literally fall down while he's just, I don't know. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Jim is in New Hampshire. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, hello, Raleigh. How are you?
I can see why you're far from New Orleans. After hearing the Shawwees, I'd want to leave too.
You ain't kidding. I mean, good gosh.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure there's many more. You know, if we think about it, I'm sure we could probably come up with 40 songs.
I just thought of one while I was on hold with you. Tar Heel Slim and Lib Land. I Hear You Knocking, I think was the name of it.
Yeah, right. I didn't know he cried in it. Okay.
Well, actually, she did.
All right.
Yeah, she did. And last time I heard it, Bob Walker played it on Yacht Radio there.
Perfect.
And I thought,
perfect.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, I'll look for that. But yeah, I want to make a collection of these because I think this, you know, my ultimate goal was to make all the R&B soliloquies talk to one another in a long playing conversation.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and that really was a goal of mine. I absolutely wrote it down on one of those high school questionnaires, but it explains a lot. But the deal is, it never occurred to me I could make a crying montage, and so now this is my new goal, but I have to have enough crying records. So hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. All right, because the news is coming up here in a moment, but I see Naoto is in Japan, and he has a request, so we're going to find out what that is so he doesn't have to hang on through the news. So, Naoto, what is it you want to hear?
I want to hear, I don't know how to pronounce it, but Lash LaRue by Starbuck.
Oh, Lash LaRue, sure, absolutely, Starbuck. I'll be happy to play that for you. Okay, I'll do it.
Oh, thank you so much. I really like that song.
Okay, good. I'll do it. Okay, bye.
Oh. Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. So, yeah, right after the news, we'll do Lash LaRue. And, I liked Starbuck. I don't care what anybody says. All right. And we'll get back to Jim in New Hampshire, waltzing down memory lane. But, yeah, crying records, particularly R&B crying records, if you can think of more of them, I think I would like to do something with that in my spare time. It'd be a lot easier than making the soliloquies talk to one another. So somewhere I've gotten, I meant to pull it. I've been packing, by the way. We're getting out of one location, moving to another location. We've got four or five locations in Globe. And so we're moving out of one into another for some things. And so today I was packing CDs. And yesterday was cassettes. I was thinking, God, there's a lot of good things to play on some of these. All right. So, but I wasn't doing it with an eye toward who's crying. But we'll continue to look for that. And we've got another hour of this right here. So 888-876-5593 and Starbuck coming up on WGN Radio.
I'm thinking about a long time ago. I got my big thrill just watching this show. Saturday morning, me and Big Lou would catch the matinee and watch Lash LaRue. I whip up on them bad folks like you. I just like on the screen. Best damn cowboy my money had ever seen. He never kissed ladies or played them guitars, but when he cracked his whip, he sent my head to the stars. And whooped up on them bad folks like you. Bless my rule, we gonna pop all the fools in time. Bless my rule, we gonna pop all the fools in time. I made me a whip, a cape and a hat. The Yankees were winning, I didn't have a bat. The faucets were leaking, the streets were blood red, but Lance LaRue was in my room and tucked me in bed. What's up on them bad folks like you? Lance LaRue, we gonna pop all them fools in time. Lance LaRue, we gonna pop all them fools in time.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. So there it is, Starbuck. Yeah, Bruce Blackman wrote that. It's the flip side of Moonlight Feels Right. Lash LaRue, and that's for Naoto in Japan. All right, so back to Jim in New Hampshire. And where were we? Oh, well, it doesn't matter where we are because he's not on the air. Wait, let me do this better. All right, there you are, Jim. Welcome back.
Well, right. I started talking thinking that maybe you were there, but now here you are.
Yes, I am.
But, oh, gosh, I was going to mention something. See, I do my share of tuning around the dial after your show's over.
Always a good idea.
Yeah, that's true. And one of the things I ran across was a station in Wisconsin on 98.9 FM.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about them was they had the exact same call letters of a station that was on 1250 in Milwaukee, WEMP.
Uh-huh.
And I was just sort of, like I said, fooling around, and I said, let me put those call letters into my nice little search box here, and it came up in Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Right, absolutely. Manitowoc, Two Rivers area, you betcha. You can do that, by the way. Your AM and your FM don't have to be owned together. They don't have to be in the same town. That's all changed.
Yeah, I but I think that, see, the 1250 in Milwaukee, what last I heard was all sports. So, yeah, and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I was, you know, because I like to, you know, I get curious about who's doing what and where after. And,
right.
You know, I just. And
well, yeah, that 1250, I think it's SSP now, and they are sports,
yes.
And they got a translator. Sure.
Oh.
But yeah, I think 105 something. But the deal is that, remember in the day when they were first breaking up combos, and if it was an AM, FM, TV, the TV would have to take different call letters because it was a different owner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't have to do that anymore at all.
Oh, well, now that's interesting.
Yeah, so, gosh. You know, you can sell your AM to somebody and have it be, you know, three states away from you with the same call letters as your FM and all that. Yeah, that's not a problem.
Wow. I wonder if there's a WMAQ somewhere.
Well, that's easy enough to find out, I would assume, as far as that goes. Of course, there's a television station, you know, Channel 5, I think it's still...
Channel 5.
Right, exactly. But let's see, is anybody doing that for radio now? Let's see. I don't think so. I don't think anybody has. And, you know, that's an interesting thing. I don't know if you have to come by it honestly. You know what I mean? In other words, I don't know if there's still a TV station by that name, if somebody who's not associated in any way can ask for those calls if they're available. I don't know. But I do know now that it's not unusual that the calls are split between, multiple stations and all that. So
When I was, I often say I kind of grew up long before my time because I was kind of a MAQ fan when I was in Chicago. And
well, that was before they were country, obviously.
Yes. They were, matter of fact, they were MOR.
Of course they were. And, yeah, 670, right. They initially owned by the Chicago Daily News. Yeah, absolutely. So, they were around forever. And then, of course, NBC got them in 1931. And they were an they were an O&O. And
they were an O&O forever.
Yeah, right. In fact, the reason that Lee Sherwood was the first program director of MAQ being country is because he had been at RC in D.C., and then they put him in charge of Monitor. And then they moved him to Chicago, and he was there when they went country. So that's how that happened.
That was kind of a shame what they kind of...
What they did to Monitor was just criminal. Absolutely. It was very sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, MAQ Country was so funny because they shook up Nashville like nobody else.
Did they ever? I got to remember
that country radio seminar when they were there, and you know the fact that they had a 40 record playlist. Hell, it was probably less. That caused people to be apoplectic. You know, because here you had things like We Know in Nashville that had a 100 record list and things like that. And so, it was great. And of course, it was, shapes of things to come, obviously. But at that time, they were the devil.
Yes, they were. And they were not very well liked around country circles.
But ultimately, Nashville was always so ambivalent because on the one hand, they knew very well that a pop album would sell a million copies and a country album would would sell 20,000. So sure, they absolutely said they wanted crossover and all this, but the reality is they didn't. They did not want their fiefdom upset. And so it was very interesting those years because they were getting crossover in spite of themselves. They hated Charlie Rich, they hated Olivia Newton-John and all this, but these people were selling millions of records.
So how can you argue?
They did.
How do you do that?
Yeah, but of course, today, sadly, I always say there is no country; it's male AC.
That's what it is.
Sure it is. Yeah. You know, it's for all red-blooded males who don't want to eat bonbons with Delilah. And not to cast any aspersions against Elias, she's very successful at what she does, but there are those of us who feel like we need to go to Eli Lilly and stock up on insulin before listening. But the bottom line though is it is the antithesis of what it once was. So it was coming. You knew it was gonna come. And of course what changed more than anything over the years is that prior to the MAQs of the world, when you were a country star, you were a country star from the point that you got popular till you died, period. Loretta Lynn or Kitty Wells or Ernest Tubb. I mean, I remember so well when these guys weren't getting automatic airplay. They were apoplectic.
True.
I can still hear the disbelief in the manager's voice when I told him that I wouldn't play, I was programming a country station at the time, that I wouldn't play a Statler Brothers record. You're not going to play the Brothers? You must play the Brothers. And I'll have to talk to your manager. Something needs to be done. But it was like a birthright.
Now, I loved Flowers on the Wall.
Oh, so did I. And Class of 57 had its dreams, was wonderful.
Right.
There were a number of great, but I mean, whatever it was on this particular record, I was just not adding it. And they were just beside themselves. Mm-hmm. The shock in their voice that anybody wouldn't add them just because they were the Statler Brothers. Later, I know that, the Johnny Cashes of the world, they were very upset when they weren't getting automatic ads. And that became a thing, it was a very I was glad I wasn't in town, a very unhappy moment. But of course, it was going to happen. It had to happen.
And, oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
today, sure. Of course, you know, country sells millions. Ask Taylor Swift. So
that's right.
Yeah. So
right.
So sure.
And oh man.
Lines are very blurred.
And when I'm tuning around my little magic tuner, I run into quite a few classic country stations around
sure.
the country. And there's this one in, I think it's up in Washington State somewhere. And actually, they're pretty good. I think they're KKXA or something like that.
Westwood has a lot of 24-hour country formats, including some.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They do.
And it's interesting because they just dropped 7 of them. They dropped a bunch of formats.
Ah.
But, yeah, got rid of the guy who'd been there forever, almost 40 years. But anyway, you look at what they have now, and, because John asked what they had because I told him what was cut and all that, and he well, what do they have? And so he said, Raleigh, that's not 13 formats, that's 3. And I said, well, yeah, you know, it's mainstream country, it's mainstream country gold, it's hot country, it's real country, it's Nash Icon, it's classic country, and yeah, so he's that's all one, really. Well, no, actually, they've turned it into 5 formats.
Basically, that's what they did.
6, and, actually 6, oh, 6, yes. And then they've got classic hits and classic hits rocks and classic rock, and okay, there it is. And who knows how long any of those are for the world.
Never knows because they could be gone like that.
Well,
in a flash.
They just dumped 7 of them, and one of them, I think, a lot of people enjoyed the Good Time Oldies.
I kind of enjoyed that. That was pretty neat.
So that's gone. Variety hits pop, variety hits rock, hits now, classic hits gold, classic rock X, rock 2.0, and Good Time Oldies. They're all going away in the next few
years. Gosh, they're all going.
Yep. Belly up.
Bye bye.
That's right.
Now, there's one that I ran across that was, I'm trying to think it was. I know the station in Wisconsin runs it, and I can't think of the actual name of the format because it used to be at one time it was WNAM. I don't know if you.
Oh, Nina?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's Cumulus Station, so sure. 1280, yeah. Right, America's best music. I'll be the judge of that. But anyway,
exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, they were sort of an adult standards. Well, they still have Westwood still has that one adult standards format. So they may be running that.
I think they are. As for how long, who knows?
I don't know, but you know, adult standards to me, I expect to hear Joni James. I do not expect to hear.
There you go.
Right,
there
I do not expect to hear Celine Dion and Neil Diamond. I just don't. So
no, you want Joni James or Sinatra or Peggy Lee?
None of those are on the playlists. None of them.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Nothing in the 50s. 30% of the 60s, 45% of the 70s, 25% of the 80s to current. But, I mean, it's like the Carpenters and Michael Bublé and all that. They do play Frank Sinatra, but that's... Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Frank's the only, who you would normally say was an adult standard artist. So.
But for the rest of that, no. For one thing, I don't think you'd hear Ray Conniff and the Singers doing
And you certainly wouldn't hear the Ray Charles Singers, that's for sure. But all right. Yeah.
Oh, good gosh, no.
Yes.
I seriously doubt that.
Yeah.
But, I wanted to thank you for playing that song by Sinatra and
Dagmar. Dagmar, yeah. Mama Will Park. I'm telling you, I'm telling you.
I heard Demento play that one.
I'm sure. I know. Frank was just, like I say, if he could have, I swear he would have taken Mitch Miller out. Instead, he left the label, which was the smart thing to do. But he was there from, now,
yes.
The only thing I'll say in Mitch Miller's defense, and he really is not defendable, but here is the one thing,
no.
Is when Sinatra joined the label in 43, this was not a good time for him because he had been a big band singer. And so how to morph him from that was certainly the challenge, and I got that. But no, in 1951, mm-hmm. Mama Will Bark, I'm sorry, turn over all the cards. Frank is leaving now, and he did.
Yeah, my favorite by him like that was a thing he did. I love Jealous Lover. I mean,
oh, yeah. Well, no, there's hundreds of Frank Sinatra records that are great. That's,
oh, yeah. Sure.
That's not
sure.
one of them.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
But that's not one.
No,
nope.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, it's always wonderful to hear from you. I'm so glad you called.
All righty. You take care now.
Talk to you soon. Okay, bye. All right. So 888-876-5593. We're going to talk to Annie in Palos Hills. And there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
What you know?
Don't know nothing.
What you know, Joe?
Man, tell me something.
What you know, Joe?
Ain't conniving, I ain't jiving, I don't know.
What you know, Joe?
I don't know Latin.
What you know, Joe?
Jack ain't hi-hatting.
What you know, Joe?
I ain't fooling, I need schooling, I don't know. I don't know. Mama tried to tell me so. Papa wouldn't let me go. Couldn't even see a movie show.
What you know, Joe?
I just can't figure.
What you know, Joe?
Bowls, I don't dig it.
What you know, Joe?
Quit your squawking, I ain't talking. I don't know.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's the original What You Know Joe, Erskine Butterfield and his Blue Boys, 1941 and Decca. And I suffer through the lousy quality because this became a huge World War II song. Every big band did it, and all of them just gave it a soulectomy, start to finish. The closest to anyone doing well with it, I thought, was Joe Stafford, actually.
I don't know nothing.
What you know, Joe?
Tell me something.
What you know, Joe?
Ain't conniving, just ain't jiving. I don't know.
What you know, Joe?
Well, I don't know Latin.
What you know, Joe?
Ain't high having.
What you know, Joe?
I ain't fooling, I need schooling. I don't know.
And that came out in 1963 on Reprise, and it was an album, Getting Sentimental, over Dorsey, and that, of course, is the high-lows in the background. And, other than the original, I thought that was one of the better versions. But, Dorsey had done it, Glenn Miller had done it, but, man, I'm telling you, soulectomy. All right, so right after the news, we will welcome Addie from Palos Hills, and you too. If you're hanging around, give us a call, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And so Judy last night said, would you play any Stevie Ray Vaughan? And I thought to myself, I got to find something I like. There's something that I like. I know it's out there. Well, yeah, Stevie Ray Vaughan and Dick Dale doing Pipeline, 1987 on Columbia. And I think that was in some movie or something. I don't know. But it was a remake of Pipeline, which was originally in 1962 by the Shantays, which was a group of kids from Santa Ana High. And the guy who wrote, Bob Spickard, he's still around. And Brian Carman, they wrote it. And Brian's sadly no longer with us, but Bob still is performing. But yeah, they released Pipeline. It got to number 4 on the charts. It's absolutely a one-hit wonder, no doubt about that. And they did put out some other albums and stuff like that, but they wound up touring, like with the Righteous Brothers, and they were actually the only rock and roll band to ever perform on the Lawrence Welk Show. I don't know if there are any of those videos on YouTube, but I wouldn't be surprised. But that was the deal, and everybody's covered that, including Dick Dale, surfing icon, to say the least, with the help of Stevie Ray Vaughan. So there you have it. 888-876-5593. Annie is in Palos Hills. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
What are we talking about?
Just religion. I'm going to keep it short and simple.
Uh-oh.
I'm from the 50s, and I love the doo-wop and the 50s music and Elvis.
Uh-huh.
And anyways, I was baptized Catholic, but I went to a public school.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to a Catholic high school.
Okay.
And now I go to church, and they're always talking about novenas and different saints.
Uh-huh.
And I hear you tell people that when we die, we'll be in a better place, which I believe that.
Yes.
But I'm just kind of confused, because since it's me, you know, there's so many religions and so many beliefs, and I was told not to read the Bible and when I was in the Catholic high school, and now it's like, I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking about the religion, but I just like to know what you think, because I think you're so intelligent, and I admire you, and I love your show.
Well, I think there's a great difference between religion and spirituality. And whenever you're talking about an organized group, you are going to get a lot of earthly influences in it, no doubt about it. Now, when you talk about the Catholic Church, I think the biggest schism in my lifetime was individuals who were just aghast at the thought of Vatican II. And you were probably alive when that was going on and all of that. But the bottom line is, I think there are probably more commonalities to religions than there are differences. But the basic tone of any organized group is going to be to a good degree about control. And so that's why, you know, I would urge people to look more at the spiritual side of this and find out for themselves. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what to believe, but I think that more than ever, there are so many avenues to open your eyes to all sorts of schools of thought, and then you come to your own conclusions about how it is.
Right, Raleigh, but I went to a 12-step program
right.
for 30 years, and I feel like I'm more spiritual now than
right. well,
religious, because it is a controlled
right.
group. But I go to Mass because I'm not a morning person, and they have the Mass
yes.
like at
yes.
the afternoon.
Sure.
So I go, and the priest was talking about, oh, you can't be spiritual and you have to be religion, he was saying, like,
well,
you have to receive communion. You just can't be spiritual to be a good person. And I don't agree with that. And I love your comments and your knowledge, and I just wanted your take on that.
Yeah, I...
Because like you said, I'd rather be more spiritual than religious.
Yeah, I think
you know what I mean.
Absolutely, I would look at everything, and ultimately, in your heart of hearts, you decide the way your worldview works for you, and not to cast aspersions about any organized religion. But again, when you're talking about organized,
right.
you are talking about a set of rules that are designed, no matter what it is, to keep people quote unquote in line. And
right.
I think spirituality as a whole is so much bigger than that. And this is no way to cast aspersions against Jesus or anything like that. There are so many different ways to look at this, and you have to, in your heart of hearts, be in line with the one that is most comforting to you.
Yes, that's what I thought, because I do believe in Jesus Christ, right. And I know there's a higher power, but it seems like the religions, like they're controlled by different men, and they tell you what to do, and I don't like that. I want to know what to do for me and what to do for Jesus.
Well, and there are many people who say if Jesus were alive today, he would, you know, on the earth, and he is alive, obviously, but I mean, walking the earth, he would be absolutely aghast at what's happened in his name, as far as that goes. And there's many people who are saying, you know, I know what the Catholic Church removed in terms of Jesus' life. I don't know, obviously, and none of us really know, but clearly the one-on-one relationship you have with the Lord doesn't need to be sanctified by an organized religion.
Right. I believe that, too. I just wanted your opinion on that, because you're so intelligent. And I get nervous talking to you because you're...
No. And in the end, you know, none of us know. Wars are fought over this more probably than any other thing. And we all can have beliefs, and they are just beliefs, because until we're on the other side, we don't know. But I have always believed from the time that I was able to think that that life on Earth was just a minor blip in the existence of the soul. And I truly believe that. The next guy doesn't have to believe it. But I think that we ultimately do go on to other things, and we look back at this. And maybe the reality is we look back at this and say, oh, my God, it was really just a passion play. Why did I get so emotionally involved in every facet of it? You know,
right.
Who knows? And beyond that, you know, in terms of do you believe in reincarnation or anything else? Well, that again, some people do, some people don't. We can argue all day, but I love the near-death experiences, because the interesting thing about those people is they're near-death experiences. They went to the other side, but they're back. So I always look at that as kind of the demo version. We'll know when we get there. But I for one am I'm not suicidal. But hey, if tomorrow's the day, I'm ready to go.
Right, I feel like that too, Raleigh. But one thing I want to say before I let you go, the Catholic Church is constantly predicting if you die with a mortal sin, you're going to go straight to hell.
Well, there are many people, many people who believe in that, but then you ask yourself, is there even such a thing as hell? And in terms of that, if there are many layers of existences between here and there, maybe you wind up somewhere on an astral plane that's not too terrific, you know, as opposed to, say, a devachanic plane. But the bottom line is that, ultimately the idea of this judgment, I have a feeling that what's going to happen, and of course, again, I don't know, haven't been there, but I have a feeling that what's going to happen is the judging is us judging ourselves when we go through a life review. And I think that what happens is we look back and we see our lives not only in terms of everything we did, but the impact it had on somebody else. So how you made other people feel, you'll get to put yourself in their shoes. And part of that will be very warm and wonderful, but part of that will be a hell on earth, basically, or a hell above, where you're going to see that you caused people a lot of pain. It's the earthly experience. We all do that. But I think we get to review that. And I don't think that it's somebody else judging us. I think it's us judging ourselves. And I don't think it's a pretty time.
Yes, and I think you do the best you can for what you know.
You know, that's what...
You know what I mean?
Yes,
and everybody's raised to believe different from their parents, or where they were sent to school or church.
Yeah, for the most part, I think, other than people who are sociopathic, most of us... On parents and all that, we do the best we can with what we've got. And when I hear people who blame everything on their parents and they hate their parents, for the most part, other than, again, thank God, very few examples, most parents are trying to do the right things, but they're people. They've had experiences too. And so, it's really shouldn't be our position to judge them too harshly. And so, that's the way it is. You know, I found out when I was 37, I was adopted. It answered a lot more questions than it raised. But, you know, these people were doing the best they could with what they had. And,
I believe that, too, from going to the 12 steps.
Well, sure. Sure, absolutely.
Program.
And that's right. And the 12 steps are wonderful in terms of turning things over to a higher power. They don't they don't specify what that higher power is to you. Now, the one thing I agree with is hopefully all of us feel we have that higher power, but how it affects us is different person to person. But yeah, the 12-step programs can be terrific.
Yeah, because I heard they were taken from the Bible.
Well, partly. Again, there you go. The Bible is a the Bible is a smorgasbord. You know, you can.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You can get almost anything you want out of it. I'm not going to go to Bill W. and what his motivations were, but the bottom line is that. It works for millions of people because, in fact, ultimately, I don't know how, and you've been in 12-step programs, so you know this, I don't know how you exist without being able to turn it over to a higher power because there are many things above our pay grade. And that's when, you know, I might say, okay, Jesus, do your stuff. It's up to you. You carry the burden because I can't carry it anymore. I don't know what I'd do if I had nothing to turn to.
That's right. I believe that, Raleigh.
Yeah.
So I just love your show, and I love your comments and your knowledge.
Well, you sound absolutely fine, and you sound well-grounded on it, and go for it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it.
Okay, Raleigh.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
I'll call you again.
Anytime. All right.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
So, that's the spirituality light version because again, this is this can be a very heady topic all the way around and probably something outside of what we tackle regularly on the air here. But, don't let someone else talk you out of your own spirituality. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Wow, after that, I feel like I need to hear Louis Jordan, and I will next on WGN Radio.
I got a gal who's always late anytime we have a date, but I love her. Yes, I love her. I'm gonna walk right up to her gate and see if I can get it straight, 'cause I want her. I'm gonna ask her, is you is or is you ain't my baby? Way you acting lately makes me doubt. You's is still my baby, baby. Seems my flame in your heart's done gone out. A woman is a creature that has always been strange. Just when you're sure of one, you'll find she's gone and made a change. Is you is or is you ain't my baby? Maybe baby's found somebody new. Or is my baby still my baby true?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yeah, Louis Jordan, he was the absolute best. And his Timpani 5, and interesting, his Timpani 5 sounded as good as, you know, like a 30-piece orchestra. It's just unbelievable. And he was they used to call him the king of the jukebox. But apart from that, and he was a sax player, and just funny as all get at. You know, ain't nobody here but us chickens, and is you as you ain't my baby, and all of that kind of stuff. And he started out as part of a big band in the 30s, born around the turn of the century in Arkansas, but later, had his own, the Timpani 5 and all that, and he just sounded great, and really, in some ways, mapped out the main parameters of what would be classic R&B, and Decca was his label. And he also was an actor. He appeared in a lot of soundies for movie jukeboxes, you know, like later Scopey Tones and all that, but this was way before that. And worked in a number of ways, and just was huge. And sadly, to this day, nobody's heard of this guy. And I mean, Choo Choo Cha Boogie, or, you know, Five Guys Named Mo, right? Or Open the Door, Richard, which we'll also play. But probably the most well-known in today's times would be Saturday Night Fish Fry, which was a huge hit. And he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, God love him, in 87, an early influencer. Yes, he certainly was, to say the least. And he also did a lot of recordings for the Armed Forces. Just huge, like I say, and I keep saying that because he's unknown for the most part now. And he was just so big as far as that goes. And he was active really, really till the time he died. I think he died in like 1975 or so. It was in the 70s, I'm pretty sure. And it was sad. But he was your typical musician. He had like five marriages and a bunch of kids and all that kind of stuff. And I think the first marriage was one where his wife had a child, turned out not to be his, you know, and from there it went on and all that. But it was really interesting because I guess rock and roll killed him in some ways. He wasn't able to generate the money that he did beforehand. And here come the 60s, and come with them is the IRS. And they filed against him, and he had to sell all sorts of stuff, property they owned well below their value, to pay off the debts. And in fact, Ike Turner is somebody who had heard about his problems and wound up convincing the president of a booking agency to send him $20,000, and didn't even tell Jordan he was doing that. So, you know, you don't hear many nice things about Ike Turner, but that was absolutely one of them. But he wrote all the stuff to Caledonia, and in some cases, the writing credits weren't his, and there were reasons for that. In one case, it was a wife, that kind of thing, and after their divorce, she retained the ownership and all that. But as far as Saturday Night Fish Fry, that's his. But on the other hand, Bill Doggett says, hey, I wrote that. So there are some things we'll never know. And he died in, like I say, I think it was 75, and that was in Los Angeles. And, you know, Chuck Berry, when asked, said he modeled his entire musical approach on Louis Jordan. And he changed the content, because with Louis, it was always, you know, black life. And Chuck Berry, of course, was teenage life. So he substituted cars and girls for, you know, food, drink, money, and girls. You know, girls are always in there somewhere. And so if you listen to Johnny B. Goode, you'll absolutely hear the similarity to the opening of Ain't That Just Like a Woman, which was Louis Jordan, the guitarist, I think was Carl Hogan. But Berry acknowledges this anytime he's asked. Little Richard, when he was asked, would always say it was Caledonia, that the shriek, the whoop in the Jordan sound, you know, was what Little Richard later adopted as far as that goes. And B.B. King says, you know, Louis Jordan's my big influence, and one of them anyway. And there were a number of albums that were great. Let the Good Times Roll was wonderful. Earl Palmer played drums on that, and you know, Dr. John played piano, and Hank Crawford and all that. And so that's a B.B. King album, in some ways a tribute to Louis. And so, rest in peace, Louis Jordan. There was a musical, Five Guys Named Mo, that opened up for a while and received Tony nominations. And I think it was on Broadway for like 20 years. But, yeah, that was Louis Jordan. Rest in peace, Louis. All right. So, again, while I'm telling you about things, don't forget tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m. Yes, that's right. John Landecker interrupted for 2 hours with a two-hour Cuomo Town Hall featuring Bill O'Reilly, Stephen Smith, a call-in appearance from the president himself, answering questions about his first 100 days in office. I bet you have some. This will be 100% live from New York. There will be a number of in-studio people, including the audience, people like RFK Jr. and James Carville. Oh, maybe they'll get into it. That'll be interesting. And so this is tomorrow night for 2 hours. And, of course, if you watch News Nation, you'll see it there. You'll also see it on WGN-TV, and, of course, you'll hear it right here on AM 720 WGN Radio. So check that out tomorrow night. Then we will be on after it, and probably John will have an hour between it and me, and we will discuss anything that has nothing to do with it, because we will continue to keep it light and fun. And in the meantime, until then, that is a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, and John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank you for calling. Makes the show a pleasure to do. Not many of you did tonight. Improve on that tomorrow night. as attendance will be taken. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.